Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 15, which is entitled The Battle in the Mind. Our objectives of this, upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verses from memory. You'll be able to identify the main battleground of spiritual warfare. You'll be able to explain what it is meant by the fiery darts of Satan. You'll be able to recognize mental strategies used by Satan to attack the mind and use spiritual counter strategies to quench these fiery darts of Satan. Our key verses from the Articles of War are this, and they're found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Introduction. When Paul warned the Corinthians not to be ignorant of the devil's wiles, the Greek word for wiles means schemes, and is from the same word used for mind. In other words, Satan's primary assaults occur in our thought life. The mind is the main battlefield in spiritual warfare, and every attack of Satan involves the human mind. So this chapter focuses on the battle for the mind. It discusses the strategies of Satan and gives spiritual counter-strategies for victory over his attacks. The battle for the mind is easily summarized in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So Satan wants to make your mind carnal, which is sinful, worldly, fleshly. God wants you to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Why Satan's attack? The greatest commandment involves loving God with all your mind. This is one of the main reasons why Satan battles for your mind. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 38, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So Satan battles for your mind because it is closely tied spiritually to your heart and mouth. Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 19 says, But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. And Satan battles for the mind because the way you think affects the way you act. Proverbs 23:7, of course, says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So Satan knows that if he can control your mind, he can control your body, your actions, and if left unchallenged, your spirit. Fiery darts from the enemy. In the Old Testament times, fiery darts were used as a weapon of warfare. They were hollow reeds filled with material which would burn easily. They were set afire and shot from bows, and they were excellent weapons against the walled cities of the time because they could be shot over the walls to ignite the thatched roofs of the houses within. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 17, Paul discusses the spiritual battle with Satan, and he speaks of the fiery darts of the wicked. The enemy continuously hurls these fiery darts at you in the spirit world. Most of these darts are aimed at the mind. The Apostle Paul warns that you should not be soon shaken in mind. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, in the Greek translation, shake means to agitate, disturb, topple, by implied, to destroy. If you can take hold of something and shake it, you have control over it. Satan wants to shake or exert control over your mind. Satan's strategy battles in the mind. The mind is one of the most complex and yet least understood parts of the human body because it is so complex. Satan has many subtle methods of attacking the mind. Though it would be impossible to list them all, the following list summarizes some of the main strategies of attack that Satan uses in the battle for the mind. The first one is questioning the authority of God. The first temptation of man started in the mind, and it started with this strategy, questioning the authority of God. Satan said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? You could not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil?" Questioning God and His Word leads to doubt, unbelief, and also skepticism. Deception and seduction. Deception was also a part of the enemy's strategy. When Satan confronted Eve, he was disguised as a beautiful serpent. Satan uses lies, cults, and religious spirits to deceive millions in our world today. Some of the deceptions Satan advances includes the following appeals. One is that you can become a god, or you can know the future, or your future, including eternity, is predestinated. There is nothing you can do about it. Another one is everyone is a child of God. Another one, there is more ways to heaven than by Jesus. Or God is too good to send anyone to hell. Or all God expects you to do is live a good life and do the best you can. And the Bible should be not taken literally, or the Bible contains many errors. Seducing spirits of Satan attack the mind to distort the truth of God's word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So Satan used this attack on Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. He tried to get Jesus to throw himself off a high point of the temple since God had promised to protect him. And it says in Luke chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, that he would give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in his hands they shall bear thee up. The flesh. You previously studied about the flesh as a spiritual force of evil. Satan uses the flesh to war against the mind. In Romans chapter 7, verses 23, it says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Satan uses his own mouth, your eyes, your ears, even your senses of touch and smell to foster wicked thoughts in your mind. Blinding minds of unbelievers. Satan works in the minds of unbelievers to blind them to the truth of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Another thing he does is cause depression. To be depressed is to be downcast, sad, discouraged, or in a low spirit. It includes feelings of despair, despondency, and dejection. Depression can lead to suicidal thoughts or actual suicide because of the hopeless feelings, which produces uncontrollable mental grief, sorrow, heartache, and crying. Sometimes Satan uses circumstances of life to lead to depression. For example, a great loss or a fear of loss, suppressed anger, a low self-concept, unfulfilled expectations, and a negative attitude can all be used to cause depression. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, it says, "We are warned about fainting in the day of adversity, or being troubled or distressed circumstances." Sometimes depression is caused by the negative attitudes of those around us through which Satan works. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "God's people admitted that our brethren have discouraged our hearts." We read in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4, that the soul of God's people were much discouraged. King David often reflected discouragement in his Psalms. Psalms 69, for an example. The Apostle Paul also had times of deep depression. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even for life." So if you do not conquer depression, it can also lead to oppression by satanic spirits. And this is a deeper form of depression where Satan gains more restrictive power over the mind. Another one is discouragement. Discouragement means to be without courage. Satan wants to discourage you because if you are without courage, you are ineffective in warfare. Another is withdrawal. Another way Satan attacks the mind is through withdrawal. The purpose of this strategy is to isolate you from the rest of the body of Christ, since believers function together in a ministry as a body. Withdrawal makes you non-functional. Examples of men of God who were attacked mentally by Satan and withdrew are Elijah and Jonah. We find the one on Elijah is 1 Kings chapter 19, and the story of Jonah is chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. Another is improper motives. A motive is your reason for doing something. Motives are important because although man looks at the outward appearance or actions, God looks at the heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. In John chapter 2, verses 24 through 25, it says, "It needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in the heart of man." Many people enter Christian ministry for the wrong reasons. God is more concerned with motive than ministry. This is where you should place your concern also. When motives are proper, the ministry will naturally follow. The motives for ministry must be right. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but with a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." So we must enter the ministry willingly, not because of the advantages and benefits of the office, not as a dictator, but as an example. Satan will try to create wrong motives for Christian service by putting them subtly in your mind. Satan causes wrong motives for desiring God's power. You can find an example of this in Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 23, in the story of a man named Simon. You can find, you can have vindictive motives for your actions. Vindictive means that you want to get even with someone who has done you wrong or who you do not like. Biblical examples include disciples wanting to call down fire from heaven in Luke chapter 9, verses 54, and Jonah wanting Nineveh destroyed. David also had wrong motives in the numbering of people. And we find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1 in the Amplified Version, it says, "Satan, an adversary, stood up against Israel and stirred up David to number Israel." Wrong attitudes and emotions. Satan causes wrong attitudes towards others. He inserts fiery darts of envy, jealousy, suspicion, unforgiveness, distrust, anger, hatred, intolerance, prejudice, competition, impatience, judging, criticism, covetousness, and selfishness. He tries to cause wrong attitudes of greed, discontent, pride, vanity, ego, importance, arrogance, intellectualism, and self-righteousness. Wrong attitudes can lead to wrong emotions, and both stem from your thoughts. These attitudes and emotions render you ineffective in spiritual warfare. For example, in James chapter 4, verse 6, it indicates that God resisteth the proud. So when you're filled with pride, you're actually arrayed in a battle against God. rebellion. Satan also inserts rebellious thoughts into your mind. Rebellion is willful disobedience against God's authority. Rebellion includes self-will, stubbornness, and disobedience. Remember that rebellion was the original sin of Satan. There are five elements of I will demonstrated his rebellion. The I will spirit is a way to recognize the operation of Satan through rebellion. Accusation and condemnation. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. He sends his fiery darts of accusation into your mind and makes you feel inferior, and he condemns you. He will give you guilty feelings of shame, unworthiness, and embarrassment. One good way to tell the difference between the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the condemnation of Satan is to remember that Satan always generalizes. For example, he speaks in your mind things like these: you are no good, you could never live a Christian life, God wouldn't love you because you're too great a sinner. When the Holy Spirit is convicting you, it is specific. For example, he brings you to attention that you have a problem with anger, dishonesty, etc. Next, we have sexual impurity. Satan will insert thoughts of sexual impurity, lust, and mental sexual fantasies. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh at a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Another is confusion. Satan also causes indecision, confusion, and frustration in your mind. When you're confused, indecisive, and frustrated, you obviously cannot be a good Christian soldier. Also, we have tormenting thoughts. There's a whole category of tormenting thoughts Satan sends into your mind, including worry, anxiety, dread, apprehension, and nervousness. Mental torment can come through an overactive mind that will not shut off, or underactive mind that cannot function properly. Tormenting thoughts also include fear. Paul speaks of the spirit of fear in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and the fear of death in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. Tormenting thoughts also include bitter memories of events that should be forgiven and forgotten. Compromise. To compromise is to settle conflicting principles of adjustment. The principles of God and Satan are in opposition. Satan tries to get you to compromise and to lower your spiritual principles. For example, he would tell you that it is not necessary to be holy to believe the Bible literally, etc. Wrong mental focus. Satan will constantly try to get you to focus on things of the world rather than things of eternal nature. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, in the Amplified Version, it says, "Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So the cares of the world can actually cause the Word of God to be ineffective in your life. You want to see the parable of the sower, which is in Matthew chapter 13, also Mark 4 and Luke 8. Cares of the world can make you unaware of the short time before the return of Jesus. Luke chapter 21, verse 34, it says, "And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." Satan will occupy your thoughts with materialism rather than with eternal values. Read the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, 16 through 21. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after that, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Paul warns that there are many who would mind worldly things in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 through 19. Next, we have mental conditions. If you allow Satan to persist with thoughts of depression, suicide, torment, accusations, etc., it can lead to mental illness. This could include a nervous or mental breakdown and various medically recognized mental conditions. Satan can actually possess the mind of unbelievers and backsliders, those who have once known God. then turned away from him. You'll learn more about this in chapter 21. Spiritual counter-strategies, victory in the mind. What an arsenal of weapons Satan has targeted for the mind. Left unconquered, these thoughts lead to sinful actions. For example, hatred can lead to murder. Adulterous thoughts can lead to an act of adultery. And divorce starts in the mind. Covetousness can lead to stealing. There's no doubt that the greatest arena of spiritual warfare is in the mind. But do not fear. God has given these tremendous counter-strategies for overcoming the attacks of Satan in the mind. We want to let the Holy Spirit search your mind. First, you want to ask God to search your mind and reveal to you any wrong attitudes, motives, and thinking which has been inserted by the enemy. Psalms 139, chapter 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So as the Holy Spirit reveals things to you, act upon the revelation, ask forgiveness for wrong thought patterns, and use the Word of God to develop new thought patterns. You want to use your spiritual armor. There are two pieces of spiritual armor to defend you from the attacks of the mind. These are listed in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 through 17. One piece of armor is the helmet of hope of salvation. A helmet is worn on the head and implies protection to the mind. Paul is not speaking of your present salvation in Jesus Christ, which can cleanse your mind. He is speaking of the future salvation. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Salvation is also your hope for the future. The believer who has the helmet of salvation in place understands that God is working out his eternal purpose of salvation. He is not disturbed by the attacks of the enemy. He has hope not only for the present but for the future. The other piece of armor for mental protection is the shield of faith. As you learned when you studied about your weapons, a shield was a piece of heavy material which a soldier held in front of himself to keep arrows from hitting him. The arrows bounced off the shield and fell harmlessly to the ground. The shield for the Christian soldier is called the shield of faith. The word faith not only refers to the basic truths of the Christian gospel, but to your confidence in God. Another piece of spiritual armor is the girdle of truth. We find that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. The truth of God's word will defeat any false accusations the enemy brings to your mind. Use God's word. In the temptation of Jesus, when Satan misused God's word, Jesus met the attack with the word of God. When Satan comes with accusations of guilt, use this scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." When Satan comes with tormenting feelings such as fear, you can use these scriptures. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." When Satan tries to discourage you, use this verse, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee to be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So when Satan brings false guilt to your mind, you want to remember 1 John chapter 1:19. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And use all the other verses about the mind given in this lesson to war against the attacks of Satan when they come against your mind. You also want to claim a sound mind. Claim a sound mind is God's will for you. To eliminate tormenting thoughts, claim the peace that is rightfully yours. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So these are examples of how you can develop a whole arsenal of scriptures that are applicable to the various mental attacks of Satan. As you study God's Word, continue to identify specific verses to defend your mind against the invasion of the enemy. You want to let Christ's mind be in you. Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word let means to permit or embrace. You are to let your mind to become like the mind of Jesus. What was the mind of Jesus like? A project for study of this question provided in the tactical maneuvers section of this chapter. It's possible to achieve this because Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, But we have the mind of Christ. Another thing you want to do is to gird up your the loins of your mind. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. In the natural body, the loins are a central portion of the body below the waist. The loins are the strongest parts of the body. Peter is saying you should prepare your mind to be strong. Again, it is something you do. Take wrong thoughts captive. We are told to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. If thoughts were not enemies, then there would be no need to take them captive. Think about how a soldier takes an enemy captive in the natural world and apply these ideas spiritually as you take captive every thought. You want to cast down wrong thoughts. One of the main defensive counter strategies to protect your mind is that of casting down, or to cast something means to hurl it with great force. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you're to cast down evil imaginations, Satan that puts into your mind, and you're to cast down thoughts that exalt themselves against God. You're to bring every thought into captivity and obedience to God. You cast down by consciously taking control of your mind and refusing to dwell on the thoughts Satan inserts. Note that you are to cast down. It is not something God does for you. You are to do it. And you want to think on these things. One way to gird up your loins of your mind is to think on proper subject matter. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You also want to renew your mind. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 says, And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And in Romans 12, 2, it says, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you renew your mind by prayer and meditation on God's word. Encourage yourself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it says, And David was greatly distressed, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Again, you must take action. You must encourage yourself in God. Do not wait for others to do it. Do it yourself with God's help. Also, what you want to do is recognize the source of confusion. Recognize the confusion is not of God. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Since confusion is not of God, refuse to accept the spirit of confusion in your mind. You want to control the gates, the Old Testament time gates surrounded by walls for defense against enemy forces. The walls had gates where guards controlled the entrances. Whoever controlled the gates of the city also controlled the city. A similar situation exists in terms of controlling the mind. The gates to your innermost being are the five senses. It's important that you do not allow anything to enter that has the ability to destroy from within. This means you must control your fleshly nature. Avoid things which would open the gates of the mind. These include things like drugs, alcohol, which reduce your ability to think and respond. Pornography inspires sinful relationships and sex crimes. Certain kinds of music, witchcraft, cultist activity, and mind control all open the gates of your mind. Put off all the works of the flesh and let God develop you in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. See Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 26. Never give in to the mental attacks of the enemy. If you give in, God will give you up, according to Romans chapter 1. God sometimes gives people up if they have given in to the flesh. Ask Jesus to help you, and remember that one of the Old Testament prophecies concerning Jesus said that he would control the gates of his enemy. Let him exert this control over your spiritual gates. You want to keep your mind stayed on God. Keep your mind stayed on or centered on God. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth thee. So this is a great promise. If you keep your mind centered on God, you can have peace despite every enemy attack. So that's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Hey, and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.